unflinching surrender. May that same personality of Godhead, who is the maintainer of his devotees, and who is worshipped by silence, by devotional service, and by cessation of material activities, be pleased with us. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna is not properly understood even by such exalted personalities as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. What to speak of ordinary men? But by his causeless mercy, he bestows the benediction of devotional service upon his devotees, who can thus understand Krishna as he is. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. No one within this universe can understand Krishna in truth, but if one engages in devotional service, one can understand him perfectly well. This is also confirmed by the Lord in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 7:1. Maya jakshin mayak saktap manak partha yogam yun janmadashayah asamshayam samagramam yatagyas yasitat shrinu. Now hear, O son of Pritha, Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me with mind attached to me, you can know me in full free from doubt. Lord Krishna himself teaches how one can understand him perfectly well without a doubt. Not only the Pandavas, but everyone who sincerely accepts the instructions of Krishna can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is. After instructing Yudhisthira Maharaj, Narada Muni prays for the Lord's blessings that he be pleased with everyone and that everyone become perfect in God consciousness and return home back to Godhead. Hari Bol. Nayasya sakshad bhagava padma jadibi rupam diya vastutayo pavarnitam maunena bhaktyo pashamena pujitaha Pasidatam Asha Sasatvatam Patihi. Present here now is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose true form cannot be understood even by such great personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. He is realized by devotees because of their unflinching surrender. May that same personality of Godhead, who is the maintainer of his devotees and who is worshipped by silence, by devotional service, and by cessation of material activities, be pleased with us. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshura Miditam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Mutale Svayam Rupa Padamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam. This is a blessing verse. Narada Muni is liberally giving blessings to one and all, anyone, everyone. May Krishna be pleased. So it's not exactly a request, may Krishna please be pleased. It's a benediction. May Krishna be pleased upon all. Because when Krishna is pleased, just as Prabhupada is indicating at the conclusion of the purport, what can you ask for more than Krishna be pleased? In a loving relationship, what do you want more than the beloved is pleased? And if the beloved is pleased, surely Krishna's case, he'll bring that loving soul to him. So it's not a may Krishna be pleased and give you all liberation. May Krishna be pleased. Nice understanding. The well-wishing of a great personality like Narada, we've seen what miracles, what wonders, that as he shows his favor upon someone, how that someone becomes completely transformed. Even bad people, even very attached people, even very troubled people, become transformed by the blessings of Narada. So the role of Narada Muni with the Pandavas is that he would regularly visit the Pandavas and provide wonderful counsel. There's many places in the Bhagavatam where Narada Muni is instructing Maharaj Yudhisthira in particular. Not just so that he can get transcendental knowledge, but so that he can be perfectly directed in all of his activities. This is what a devotee wants. And to have that perfect direction is very special. So, in the verse, Narada is stating that the personality of Godhead cannot be understood by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Of course, how can he not be understood by Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma when they're the heads of sampradayas, Brahma sampradaya, Rudra sampradaya? Certainly they must have understanding of the personality of Godhead. Because the verse goes on to say, but the devotee can understand by these means. Well, certainly they're devotees. The message is, it's not their material qualification that entitles them or anybody to understand the personality of Godhead. Not being the firstborn living being, or in any sense being old. You know, you become old, we're all getting old. And just by getting old doesn't mean, oh, now you're the oldest person around, surely you must know Krishna. Or having incredible powers, mystic powers, being able to create a universe. People are highly reputed for doing, creating some little thing, some little replica of some little piece of the totality of creation, and they get a Nobel Prize and great honor from this world. It's not by those, in short, it's not by those worldly distinctions that one can know the personality of Godhead. One can know the personality of Godhead rather by these three things that are mentioned: Maunena, Bhaktya, Upashamena. So, Maunena. I was expecting in reading the purport that Prabhupada would go into Mona doesn't mean in the material sense be quiet. Don't say anything. If you could realize the personality of Godhead by not saying anything, that would be too easy. So it's not by restriction of the speaking process, but it's not speaking anything worldly, using the power of speech not for anything mundane. And similarly, upashamena means ceasing material activities. So not speaking material, not acting material, but acting fully in devotion. By this method, pujitaha, the Lord is worshipped. And by such persons who do so, the verse says, in full surrender, this is the emphasis of the Sanskrit part of the verse, in full surrender, then one can understand the Lord perfectly. In the second canto, repeatedly, Prabhupada uses the phrase proportionate to one's surrender. One can know the Lord. He makes the point, simple point, the living entity is very tiny, we're infinitesimal. So how can the very tiny understand the unlimited? The answer is, the very tiny can't understand the unlimited on his own strength because he's limited. So how can limited understand unlimited? It's semantically not possible. But to the degree that the unlimited discloses himself to the limited, then to that degree the limited can know the unlimited. And the criterion is this submission, the full surrender. So he uses these different terms almost interchangeably here in the purport also, with great sincerity. Surrender, fully surrender. Here is complete surrender, unflinching surrender unto the personality of Godhead. To that degree, the Lord will disclose, and then the living entity can understand him. He points to the verse in the within the purport, the how-to verse of chapter 7. Krishna promises Arjuna, I'm going to explain how to come to this stage where your consciousness is fixed upon me, your mind is attached to me. Because when one achieves that, and you can know Krishna, and you can say, you know, going down a little bit, proportionate to the degree of consciousness absorbed in Krishna, mind attached to Krishna. So go back to the Bhagavatam verse. What we do with our speech, what we do with our actions, it's depending upon the consciousness that we carry. We'll speak this or act that, depending upon the reservoir from which impetus for activity comes. So what are we attached to? What's the root of our consciousness? And that's going to determine how much we can understand Krishna. And conversely, how much we'll be bewildered or deluded by the material energy. So there's a how-to, there's a process. In short, it's bhakti. The progressive stages of bhakti are very elaborately laid out by our acharyas, how to, and the stages where you can take little benchmarks and see how you are progressing in devotional service. Going back to the theme of what Narada Muni is doing here, he is giving blessings. So, something that a devotee needs to do to come to the stage of knowing Krishna is to receive blessings, to receive descending mercy. I'll share this from our GBC meeting in Bombay. Yesterday was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance. And on the disappearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Rabindra Sarup is going to write a book, like it's more than a paper, a book, for the purpose, the group of devotees, the committee that he was working with, was a group of GBC men who would like to do something very firm and clear and, you know, passing through generations, how to help ensure that Prabhupada's unique position as our founder Acharya endures as generations pass. Because those of us who had Prabhupada's association certainly understand that his position, unique position. But I can say as a traveling sannyasi, I get this question, not often, but enough that it sends a little alarm. The people that are new to Krishna consciousness, you know, why all this attention? It goes to Prabhupada. There's so many other people, and they're writing nice books, and they're doing nice things, and saying nice things. So why all this attention? Why should we have this concern of Prabhupada being the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness? There's many things that can be said about that, but one, a starting point, so Rabindra Sarup Prabhu is part of that committee, and he was being encouraged to eliminate as far as possible his GBC services, so he's agreed to do that. He is happy to do that. Because he's such an excellent writer. And the other part isn't so excellent. So, we're working to cover his other GBC services in other ways, so that he can write this book, and he described how the beginning of the book would go. That in, can't recall the year, 60, he's either 67 or 68, on the occasion of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance, Prabhupada was giving a lecture in San Francisco, and he was speaking of some glories of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then he was describing that he was carrying this mission. You know, he gave it a name, the Gaudiya mission. But the mission was Lord Chaitanya's teachings, Gaudiya mission. Lord Chaitanya's teachings should be heard all over the world. So Prabhupada explained that he made this request of me. He gave me that charge. Not only Prabhupada, but he gave that charge. And by accepting that charge of Bhaktisiddhanta, Prabhupada said, now we have ISKCON today. And in that very lecture, Prabhupada was saying, and in turn, I hereby pass the baton to you. I give you that charge to take the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and establish them within this world. And by that, Rabindra's point is going to be that what ISKCON is that act of Prabhupada receiving, then in turn passing, and our receiving and in turn establishing. It's our submission to the instruction, just as Prabhupada is saying within the purport. I'll read what he says in the purport again. Not only the Pandavas, but everyone who sincerely accepts the instructions of Krishna can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is. So, back to the theme, receiving mercy. And receiving mercy is something that's descending. And why Srila Prabhupada? One why Srila Prabhupada reason is because we're in the history of, we'll keep it simple and say Gaudiya Vaishnavism, but you can go beyond Gaudiya Vaishnavism. We're in the history of world religion. Has it been shown that one was so, in his very lifetime, so much empowered? There's a special reason why to take shelter of and give special attention to Srila Prabhupada's instructions. So much empowerment is being transmitted through that channel, the line of Srila Prabhupada manifesting. It's not that we're something special, Prabhupada is something special. And that something special that Prabhupada is has manifested something special. And so we consider ourselves very fortunate to be recipients of that mercy. And as recipients of that mercy, back to the verse, then one performs certain practices, maunena, bhaktyo, upashamena, pujitaha, then prasiditam, one gets the mercy. And this is the benediction, prasiditam, Prabhupada has translated as, may the Lord be pleased. You receive mercy, and then by that receiving of the mercy, one can be pleased. It's like the chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is describing the stages of bhakti. The topmost stage is same language, mind fully absorbed in me, intelligence always engaged in serving me. In one who has attained this state surely abides in me without a doubt. But if someone can't do that, follow the regulations of bhakti yoga. You'll develop a desire to come to that stage. If you can't do that, then if you can't do that, if you can't do that, if you can't do that. But the topmost, he goes back up the ladder, and the topmost is one who has this qualification. Then Krishna describes those who are very pleased, very pleasing to me. Those who have, he gives a list of qualities. Bear with me while I'll go through this little exercise. There are qualities that a devotee may manifest that are very pleasing to Krishna. Now, where do devotees get those good qualities? How can we as devotees manifest good qualities? If Krishna decorates us with good qualities, we can have good qualities. And Krishna chooses to decorate devotees with good qualities because of their sincere desire to serve him. Then he gives abilities, he gives strength, he gives qualities. And then that devotee comes before Krishna and Krishna smiles. Oh, look at your wonderful qualities. Krishna is the quality decorator. Because within the heart of that person, he sees something. He sees a very sincere desire to want to please and serve him. And there's surrender and submission. And so, being pleased, he decorates. It's very nice. Prabhupada gives the example, same message as with deity worship. With deity worship, we decorate the deity. We take nice things. Even Shesha back there is making some arrangement for offering some nice things. He's got his GBC thing, and his education thing, and his lawyer thing, and his family thing, but he's how to offer something nice to the deity. So, Prabhupada's explanation is, when we're decorating the deity, it's like having a mirror, and when you're, he gave this example, you look at the mirror to put your tilak on. So when you're looking at the mirror to put your tilak on, you're not looking at your face, you're looking at your reflection in the face, in the mirror. As you're applying the tilak, the mirror is being decorated, but actually your face is being decorated. Similarly, when worshipping the deity very nicely, the deity is being decorated very nicely, but it actually is the devotee that's being decorated very nicely. Because Krishna doesn't need anything. We need. And when we recognize out of love, out of devotion, Krishna doesn't need something, I want to serve him very nicely, then we become decorated. That's when Krishna decorates his devotees with nice qualities. When the object becomes Krishna, the object of our affection and love. This language of Rupa Goswami that says the devotee is the abode of love, the ashraya, and Krishna is the object of love. And when the object of love, instead of becoming a misunderstood object or a misplaced object like something mundane and material, we place that object accept, repose all of our affection and attention and devotion and love upon Krishna with full surrender, then the devotee becomes decorated. And one of the things the devotee becomes decorated with is understanding Krishna. The medium for understanding Krishna is our devotion, our surrender to Krishna. And by so doing, many other decorations come. But it's that one thing. Just that one thing. We'll say the same message in a different way. There are 26 qualities of a devotee identified by Rupa Goswami. And of those 26, because there's unlimited, but primary qualities. Of those primary qualities, one is Swarup Lakshana, and the others are Tatastha Lakshana, marginal. And from the one comes the marginal. So that Swarup Lakshana is Krishna Eka Sharana. From Krishna Eka Sharana, the other 25 come. They come from Krishna. They come from Krishna Eka. Krishna alone. So here's, back to the verse, here's Maharaj Yudhisthira, Narada, instructing Maharaj Yudhisthira as Yudhisthira Maharaj requested. He's given his instruction. Now Narada is finished. And now Narada is giving a benediction. Saying, right here, here he is. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is with us. And he's not to be understood by material qualification. But he can be understood as much as a living being can understand him by complete surrender unto him. And the demonstration of that surrender is through the practices of devotion. Stop speaking mundane things. Stop engaging oneself to attain some worldly thing through your work, upashamena, and exclusively engage yourself in devotion to the Personality of Godhead. In this way, we're expressing our attachment, our focus upon him. And such a person, by the merciful reciprocation of Krishna, he can understand who is Krishna, then he offers his benediction. May y'all, may all of you please Krishna. May Krishna be pleased upon all of you. May Krishna give his blessings upon all of you. And Krishna's ready to give his blessings. He wants to see our submission and surrender unto him. And then the fullness of his blessings are simultaneously, not automatically in a mechanical sense, but well, it's included by that. So the hearing of Krishna Katha, as Narada is describing Krishna's glories and Krishna's wonderful position, it's not knowledge, it's devotion. It's an act that's meant to nourish the devotion of one who hears, and even one who speaks. That sound vibration has that quality. Okay, so I'm going to keep within your time limit and the class and see if there's any questions. Shesha?
What Rabindra is doing, because maybe Krishna is making some arrangement, because in our committee, the Constitution Committee, we also sort of defined, because we have to come up with a definition, what is ISKCON if you're going to have a constitution. So our definition is going along the lines of being a sacred trust that's given. You know, that there's many ways of defining an organization, but we've sort of focused on this, a sacred trust given by Srila Prabhupada. And so it's the same kind of, follows in that same theme that you were saying.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, that's amazing.
There's that thread.
When we were there in Mumbai, I didn't realize that when he said that the connection there, but yeah, There's definitely a connection.
Well, his... Okay, so the part that I remember most strongly from Rabindra's presentation, along with what I've mentioned, was there's this direct utterance. It was direct. Prabhupada received it directly. Prabhupada gave it directly. It wasn't just for the people in the room and everybody else, down the tube. It's those who are ready to follow his instruction. Here's like the utterance. Accept this service that I've been given. You assist me in this service. So you say, like sacred trust. And we cherish it. It's the most valuable commodity or entity or thing that we have. That giving of us, giving some service to assist Srila Prabhupada directly. Very sacred. Yeah.
Teachings and some of the other stars that are illuminating in a certain fashion, and so that it was clear to all of our youth and children that Srila Prabhupada established like this, and maybe others are suggesting it should be otherwise. I was wondering if Ravindra Sharma was, this was also in his paradigm to illustrate like that.
Sure, sure. Well, I'll just repeat the theme. And by so accepting, there's a certain charge, a certain empowerment, a certain flow of mercy that comes. It's not to say disrespect, 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 and therefore that maintains the integrity of our faith. But there's integrity to our faith. Without the disrespect, there's something most wonderful. And we accept it. And we encourage others to accept because it's most wonderful. The manifestation is most wonderful of those who, just as the verse is saying, sincerely accept and carry out the instructions. Then some very special mercy is flowing from that. Anything else? Yes. In the back?
I was struck by your mentioning that the Swarupa Lakshana of the 26 qualities of a devotee is Krishnaika Sharanam. And similarly, the Swarupa Lakshanam of Sharanagati is Gopta Chaivaranam, which is accepting Krishna as our exclusive maintainer. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. Maintenance is a big item. Like, where does everything come from? Does everything come from our labor? It's by our labor that we're maintaining ourselves? If it were so, then, hardworking people would have everything. And people that are hardly working would have nothing. It's not from our labor that we're being maintained. And everybody needs to be maintained because otherwise we're finished. I mean, literally finished. So where is that maintenance coming from? Or, same thing said in a different way, who owns everything? The whole of Ishopanishad is on the topic of proprietorship. Who owns it? And recognizing who owns it, you act accordingly. And who owns it is he from whom everything comes. So he's the maintainer. Recognizing everything, aham sarvasya prabhavo matak savram pravartate iti matvapa jantino. When there's the only honest thing to do is to engage in service to Krishna. Because he's maintaining all of us. For everything is his property. And we should act accordingly. We use things. We use things knowing it's Krishna's property. And that's like everything. not only, you know, the temple room, and that's Krishna's property, but it's a big temple room, big creation, and it's Krishna's property. And if one has that consciousness, I was just hearing a while ago, I was hearing a lecture where Prabhupada was saying they have so many crises. He gave the example, this is some years ago, oil crisis. So we have the solution, but they won't take it. The solution is, it's Krishna's property. But then the people that are over on this side say, yeah, it's Krishna's property. So what do you? So then at the same time, then those people who are living in the desert in the Middle East, they should be able to come to this place because it's Krishna's property. Anyway, proprietorship. Krishna is the proprietor, and as he's the, it's his property, and it's meant to be used to maintain his praja. It's attachment to Krishna in a very vital sense. That doesn't mean I do nothing because he's my maintainer. I do something to serve Krishna, who's my maintainer. He doesn't need my service. He's maintaining me. But it's an expression of love. Not, I'm working for my maintenance, and to put that on the side, and then there's devotion over here, and then there's... It integrates one's whole life. You'd like to say something on that point? You raised the question. You're okay? Okay. Yes. What's our cutoff point, by the way? Is there? None. Okay.
Maharaj, you made the point that Krishna decorates the devotee with good qualities when he's pleased with their service. So does there need to be some particular attention on the part of the devotee to cultivating these qualities?
Yes. Yes. I'll say it slowly. We don't independently try to cultivate qualities. The main focus is pleasing Krishna. And behind that, Krishna Eka Sharana, when we come before Krishna, we want to see Krishna smile. So because of that, wanting to see Krishna happy, we also pay attention to qualities, so that when we come before Krishna, Krishna will smile, Krishna will be pleased. But the other 25 qualities are things that we attend to, we do cultivate them behind and on the strength of this one quality, for the pleasure of Krishna. Because there are motive goodness reasons, there are motive passion reasons, there are motive ignorance reasons. The transcendental reason is that Krishna should be pleased. That's what we want. And if that's the focus of what we want, then this is one way to please Krishna. Because he says, one who has these qualities is very pleasing to me. We can't get those qualities without Krishna's giving them, but we cultivate them. It's the two things simultaneously, mercy and effort. But make sure the effort focus is correct. For Krishna's pleasure, to serve Krishna nicely. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
I didn't have to. I'm not in trouble. I'm not in trouble.